The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
First Corinthians, wow, chapter 12. We're kind of exceptionally crawling through this chapter a bit, aren't we? I believe it's a chapter we need to crawl through. We're taking each one of these spirituals, by the way, given to each one of us by the Holy Spirit, determined by the Holy Spirit, and designated by the Holy Spirit, each one of these spirituals that the Holy Spirit grants unto us. And we're taking one at a time, knowing that each, well, is very important. And why is it very important? Well, most would say, for my edification, because God loves me, and maybe not so much. It's for the body of Christ around you. And you'll hear me say it again and again and again. And so please, don't hurt me. Don't grab me and say, I've heard that enough. Because I don't think I can say it enough. That any gift God would give you, any spiritual that He would give you, any operational gifts, you know, gift of mercy, gift of helps, back to our giftings, or back to our spirituals. I wanted to let you guys know that. That the reason that we teach this is because it's very important that we know these spirituals that God gives, that the Holy Spirit gives to us as He directs, not us. And we use them as He directs, not us. And the reason why that we're going through this and taking so much time to go through this is so we won't be ignorant. Remember, Paul says, don't be ignorant. And so we don't want to be ignorant about these things. So we'll taught through God's Word, specifically, how to use Him, when to use Him, and everything else. So that's why we're crawling through this area of Scripture. And when we get to chapter 14, which really delves into more prophecy and tongues and interpretation, we'll really crawl through there, just to really make sure. Now, I think God knew that there were going to be schisms in this area of Scripture with churches. You have the liturgical churches, you have the Pentecostal churches, the evangelical churches, and they're just all, you know, got different opinions on this, and Paul says, don't be ignorant. I've laid it out really clear for you. And so study it. And don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but at the same time, you know, follow direction. And so it's not unlike Jesus, the living Word, to set the love chapter right between the two. You ever thought about that? I have many times. So you got Paul speaking about these tongues and spiritual gifts and things of that sort to the Corinthians, which was completely using them wrong. It's out of order. Completely. You know, I think I've spoken about that before. And then He sets them right in 12 and 14, but right between them, He has the love chapter. And I think that's so perfect for Christ. He's like, okay, I'm going to straighten you guys out, but look, remember, without love, you're nothing. These gifts are nothing. These spirituals are nothing. Whether you have the Romans operational gifts or these spirituals here, if you don't do it in love, if you don't use it for one another, it's always, you know, come on, kids, get along. Guys, people that's got kids, I know you're old as dirt like me, but if you can remember back to when they were used to fight, maybe they still fight, I don't know. But if you can remember that, aren't you just really like blessed when you get along and play with one another and hug one another? You go, the first time ever they're hugging. Get the camera, honey, you know, because they just don't. And that's Christ, man. When we get along, we hug, everything's good. Everything's wonderful. And so with that, we're going to, again, The title of my message is the one and only. It's the only one and only Spirit that gives gifts, part two. We're going to look at verse 10 and 11. And so, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you can, if you're not too tired, stand, and we'll do two verses here together. Last week we said, for one is given the word. Remember, 7 says, but the manifestation to the Spirit is given to each one. For what? The profit of who? Okay, everybody. 1, 2, 3. Ah. Yeah. All in the Greek means what? Exactly. Every single person. Every single person that's a believer. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now our verses today, verse 10, to another the working of miracles. Whoa! To another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. However, one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Father, thank you, God, that you gave us that verse 11, that scripture, God, to make us know and realize it's only through you. Without you, there's nothing. So thank you, God, in advance for this message. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Yes, last week we studied, if you remember, with our time together, four spirituals. And they were, of course, for the body of Christ, edifying of the body of Christ, word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the operation of faith, and the operation of healing. Now, if you want to know more about that, Tape Lending Library has it. It's actually not lending library, just take it, you know, free. So just go back and check out the tape. Take it with you and listen to it sometime at your leisure. And so let's continue with these. We see there, beginning in verse 10, we read it. Speaking of verse 10, when Jesus, in Mark 16, 15 through 18, talked about the miraculous, and I'm not sure that might come up on the board. Not sure. Yes, there it is. Praise the Lord. And he said to them, and by the way, this is all in red letters. What does that mean? Who said that? Jesus said that. Some people, well, Paul only said that. Well, no. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to say that. So get with the program. You know, it should be in maybe blue letters. I don't know. But red letters, you know, that's the Lord. Said this. He said right before, you know, the last part there of Mark, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So if you dogs need the gospel preached to them, preach to them. I was listening to Todd this morning about the past. I thought that was really awesome. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, Jesus said that. You say that to people in the world, they'll take you to court. It's like, no, there's all kinds of ways. I read this and go, no. No, that's why it's so vital to get the gospel to even people today in the United States, let alone outside the United States. Because the United States, guys, when you need that, it's a mission field. Like last night, mission field, big time last night. All these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And so, with that, we've had Brother Charlie. I don't think there's anyone in here called Charlie. I hope so. He's brought some snakes, so we can drink the venom. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm kidding. That's ludicrous. You see, sometimes people read the word and they take it so out of context that they actually do stupid things. They let snakes bite them and then they die, or they have to go to the hospital or whatever. It's just crazy stuff. And then some people just take it completely out of context and just rip that page out and throw it in the trash. We need to study these things. When Jesus talked about the miraculous, such as drinking poison that would not hurt, handling deadly serpents that would not harm, speaking with new tongues, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Gang, it's vitally important as believers to see that these wonderful, miraculous operations and expressions were all in connection with the Great Commission. Amen? Great Commission. Jesus didn't say, gather in the sanctuary, Calvary Chapel of the Sand Hills, and look for miraculous things to happen. Well, there's things do happen. We have salvation, we have communion with the Lord, but these are for the Great Commission. He's speaking of the Great Commission. He's not speaking of anything but the Great Commission. It's going out into the world, as we see. And if you don't understand this, you get confused and you start doubting God. Well, that was for the old days. Well, that was for the New Testament church. It's not for this church anymore. Well, it's not for this church anymore here because it's for the Great Commission. We need to be sent out to experience those things. Let me put it to you like this. Therefore, I believe if you want to experience the miraculous, then one of the best ways to see the miraculous happen to a greater degree in your life is to be involved in radical evangelism. That's how you do it. Instead of radical easy chair or pew. Like that. I got a radical. I'm going to be radicaling that thing today for 4 quarters. Well, then you all have to pray for me. I'd be sinning. No, I'm kidding you. I'd have to go, wouldn't I? If someone, one of you guys called, it was an accident, God forbid, or something happened, I would go in a heartbeat. You have to. That's just what you do. That's who we are. We're family. And so, radical evangelism. The miracles of Mark chapter 16 are, well, not intended for us to huddle together in sanctuary, as I've said before, so that we might see miracles. No. That's not it at all. Folks, it's as we're taking a leap of faith, going into the jungle, into the inner city, throughout the community, sharing the Lord, that He then will confirm our message with miracles. He just will. I know a ministry in Fort Lauderdale, and we go out into the hood, and they do that every week. And I've seen miracles. I just thought people accepting Jesus, but I've seen miracles like, people getting delivered from demons. Seriously. And they had demons in them. I've seen a little girl. I didn't see this. I heard of this. This little girl take Fidel Gomez and throw him as far as from me to Darlene there. Ron. I mean, just stuff. And then, of course, she was delivered. I've seen wounds in people just heal up. Just pray for them, and next thing you know, there isn't any wounds. But it was in the hood, and it was in some dark areas. A team would go out every week, and do inner city ministry in the jungles, inner city, throughout the community, sharing the Lord that He then will confirm to the non-believers miracles. By the way, again, Mark 16, it's in red, and it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. It's not like, well, would you like to? Maybe, if you're feeling like it. It's not that way. No, it's not that way at all. But Pastor, look, I'm old, And I've got a couple things wrong with me here medically, and I'm sick, and I just can't do much of that evangelism stuff. Well, if you've been coming here to Calvary Chapel, you know that for every New Testament principle, there's a what? Old Testament picture. Amen? Every single time. Or an illustration. Such is the case here concerning miracles. And concerning this whole thing of, wait a minute, I'm too old, I'm not really, I can't go down to Nicaragua, I can't go into the inner city, I just don't feel, I'm just... And so, when I see that, it reminds me of Exodus 18, verse verses 8 through 13. Let's turn there. I'm not sure if it's up here. It might be. Oh, sure, it is. Let me read it from my text and my word. 8, Exodus. All right, let's go to Genesis, all right? Marty, where is it? Let me tell you the story. We don't need to turn there anyway. You find it for your own homework. So there's a battle. Okay? It'll probably ruin my whole football day. There's a battle going on. The Amalekites, they come up against Israel. Yes. 17. Okay, let's turn there. I was almost right. 17. I'd still like to tell the story. Yeah, now I see all kinds of marks on my paper here. Okay. Now the Amalekites came and fought against Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight the Amalekites tomorrow, and I'll stand at the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Wow, okay, cool. And so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalekites. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it was that when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became very heavy. So they took a stone and put it underneath him. He sat down. And Aaron and Hur then supported his hands on one side and the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek, the people, and his people with the edge of the sword. Done story. Isn't that cool? Well, what's going on with that? How does that give us some kind of an illustration of those that actually go into the valley, like Joshua did, of interaction, Nicaragua, inner city, that's the valley of interaction, correct? But then some of us stay, like myself, we stay on the hill of intercession. Intercession. See, what were they doing up on the hill? They were interceding for those in the valley. And supporting. This isn't a two-way conversation. But I'm glad you said that, because I didn't talk about money, you did. So let's bring it up. No, Linda, you're right. Supporting. You support those missionaries, and you pray for those missionaries, and you... Look, many of you didn't go to the rock shop last night. I'm thinking of many of you that made those dishes. Being at the rock shop, you were the... You had earplugs, the whole nine yards. However, they could, when you come in, oh, the old people, they're over there. And here's your earplugs. But, you see, you guys supported them with feeding them. And they knew it. And man, was that food good. All night long, they kept telling all the bands. Some guy came up to me and started talking about the food. I didn't know who he was. All I know is I could have took him fishing with me and not had to take my tackle box. Yeah, he had gear all over his face, man. But he just told me how great the food was. And so the valley of intercession has to be, interaction has to be fueled on the mount of intercession. Whether it be praying or giving or supporting, it's important. It's very important. We're supporting right now two people that used to come to this church. Many of you know them, Roland, Melissa and Ralph, their kids. Man, they're in Africa. And they went to a place in Africa to be missionaries that had just recently, the reason they're going there is to replace a missionary that was killed. That's pretty cutting edge. You know, you think, well, I'm not taking my kids there, but they're going. And, of course, they'll have some security and stuff. But still, yeah, we're supporting them. They wrote me, the missions that is taking care of all this, wrote me, and I had to call them and talk to them and give them a report on those guys and everything. And so we're supporting them. We're going to support them. And a whole lot, no, because we're a small church. But we are going to support them. And so, you know, God sees that kind of thing. And so that's what basically we're speaking about here as far as evangelizing. Now, as we move into the New Testament, As you study the book of Acts, you see the operations of miracles most closely linked with the office of evangelism. Again, evangelism. Because the operation of miracles is primarily for the non-believer. Why? Well, because it's clear in God's word that the believer's faith is not increased by seeing miracles. Did you know that? Of course it's not. In fact, it's stunted. Oh, Lord, you know, I like a miracle. I buy one lotto ticket a month. I don't. Okay. Before I get emails. But, you know, hey, I buy one lotto ticket a month. I know some of you guys in here do that. And, you know, if God wants to bless you, it's a miracle, right? A miracle. Do you know how many people win the lotto that just get, and I like this word because my daughter says there's no T at the end of it, but they get ruined. You know what that means? Ruined. They do. You know, why do you think God hasn't given you millions and millions of dollars? Because he knows you can't handle it. Oh, just let me try, God, for a month. Just a month, God, I promise. You know, you say that, right? Then you get a windfall, and the next thing you know, it's gone. And it's all for me. Not me, but for yourself, narcissistically. You spend the money on yourself. And so he knows. And so these miracles, no, not for the body of Christ. Because the Lord dedicated an entire segment. How do I know this? Because he dedicated an entire segment of history to prove this point. Read Exodus and Numbers. If you will see, you'll see there, gang, that God continually performing signs and wonders for his people. The Red Sea parted before them. Manna came down from heaven every morning, by the way, that they complained about. They were directed by a huge cloud each day and a pillar of fire by night. I mean, how miraculous can that be? Wow. They were bitten by poisonous snakes and miraculously preserved. Even the earth opened up in front of them and swallowed a bunch of rebellious people. I bet anything our churches would be like way cool. I mean, way godly. If you stepped outside and you were like, you know, rebellious, the ground would just open up. It's like, I'm not going to be rebellious. Joe, he was a little bit rebellious. And man, he's down in the dirt. No, but they saw all these things. It was just miracles after miracles daily. And yet, what was the end of the story? They couldn't enter the promised land because of non-belief, unbelief, lack of faith. It didn't produce any faith in them. Don't you think it would have? If you walked outside in the morning and you saw a brand new Mercedes-Benz sitting there running with the keys in, with a note saying, this is yours from God. Wouldn't that increase your faith? No. I don't know why that is, but it's for the non-believer. Non-believer. Now, if you were a non-believer, didn't believe in God at all, and you walked outside and the same thing happened, guess what he'd say? Maybe this God thing isn't very weird. I need to talk to somebody about this. Hey, it's a church across the street or down the street. I think I'll talk to them about this. This is crazy. I need to research this. So forth and so on. You know, this pastor, myself included, well, basically all of us think from time to time, if we could just see a miracle or two, our faith would soar. Not so. Not so at all. Let's check it and see what God would say about it if you're a believer like us in this room. That says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, period. You know that, Romans 10:17. All of us should know that. So for the believer, the way to grow in faith, check this out, should be on the board. It's not to see the miraculous, but to take in scriptures. To take in scriptures, the word of God. And by the way, the whole counsel of God, okay? And if you really want to get into it, get your concordance and go to the Hebrew and the Greek and see what it, you know, in those times that you go, I don't get that so much. Then go to the original language. It's okay. You don't have to be a priest, but you don't have to go to seminary or cemetery or any of those things. Okay? Bible college is good, but, you know, you just go and check it out on your own. After all, Peter says that we're a priest, right? Royal priesthood. We can do that. We have the Holy Spirit in us to teach us and understand. We just have to take time to do it. Remember, no matter what your favorite TV evangelist says, God would say it is for the non-believer that God will confirm His Word with signs and wonders. Now that is why, as we're involved in missions, in radical evangelism, like last night, in service to the non-believer and the skeptic, that the Lord would will most often confirm His will there and His Word through the arena of miracles to the non-believer. Again, like last night. That was just awesome last night, man. It was so cool. There were people in there that were drinking whiskey, straight up. And I said, well, talk to them. You know, how could you not talk to them? When you got Joey and Decipher down up there just screaming, Jesus loves you, you know, and all the other stuff that was going on. It was pretty cool. It was really a time that you could witness. And I pray that the alcohol didn't get in front of the words that were said about Christ. I think He's big enough God to do that. But that people were pulled in that direction. Well, moving on in the middle of verse 10, we see the next spiritual, that the Holy Spirit distributes to who and when He chooses. In fact, this is my favorite. The operation of prophecy. I love this. I love the spiritual. Let me be clear. It's not to foretell the future. Okay? It's not to foretell the future. That would be a fortune teller. Stay away from those people. They'll take your money. But in the original, it says to foretell God's heart. Prophecy consists of words of edification, exhortation, or comfort spoken at the time, the very time that's most needed. You guys catch that, right? Forthtelling, I'm operating the gift of prophecy right now, forthtelling God's word. And so, Paul will deal extensively with operation of prophecy in conjunction with tongues and their interpretation of tongues in chapter 14. And so, stay tuned. But suffice to say, it's not fortune teller, as I said before, as some, even in the body of Christ, try. Do you remember the book that came out, and maybe our elder Dave over there can remind me of it. Wasn't it something like 88 reasons to believe in 1988 the Lord's coming back, or something like that? The Jehovah's Witnesses already tried 3 or 4 times. They're tired of getting up on their housetops and waiting on God. It never happened. So, you know, people that just fortune tell. They look at something and then, you know, even people that go, well, you know, the Lord's coming back here or there. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. Let me tell you that. We know the seasons. We don't know the date. And so when these books and things are written like that, it's just like fortune telling. I think don't even waste your money on it. It's not valid in God's Word. And so, prophecy. And again, the Word of God speaks of prophecy in the future tense, and eschatology. Telling us, you know, giving us some clues, telling us different things that's going on, and with that whole thing. I specifically think that our Lord is developing the Ezekiel 37, 38, 39 war that you see in Ezekiel. And so there's some foretelling there as well. You might say it's a foretelling, it could be. But it hasn't happened yet. But His Scripture definitely tells us some forthtelling of God's heart. Now, in verse 10, we see discerning of spirits. For example, Matthew 16, verses 17 and 18. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, said Peter. You remember that, right, guys? Remember? Amen? You know that scripture. We don't need to go there, right? You're the living God. And what did Jesus say to him? Blessed are thou, you, Simon Barjonas, alias a.k.a. Peter. He says to him, Jesus answered, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Father in heaven. record there in Matthew 16, 17. You guys remember that, right? And so Jesus was operating in discerning of the spirits. Now, do you remember? It's just not the Lord's Spirit. Do you remember what he said then just a few moments later? You guys remember, don't you? He says, but then as recorded only a few verses later, Matthew 16, 18, response to the denial of his crucifixion, Jesus said the same to the same Peter, get behind me, Satan. So at one moment, Jesus discerned the Spirit flowing through Peter and the Holy Spirit. And then another moment, Jesus discerned the work of Satan. The work of Satan. So discerning of spirits is discerning the motives of people or what their words are truly saying and where they're actually coming from. You can't lie to a man or a woman that has the spiritual of discerning spirits much. As I said before, I think believing moms have the spirit, you know. You can't lie to them. What was I thinking the other day? My daughter told me, she said, I can't look at mom and lie, so you'll have to tell her, Dad. First of all, it's wrong, honey. Second of all, I don't have any chance either. She discerns on me as well, right? So it's this discerning spirit. I pray for the spiritual gift, these spirituals in our, especially for myself, which I have not a clue. See, this fell off. I didn't even know it fell off. Is this better? Have you guys been hearing me back there? If not, we'll have to start over again. Yeah. Faith, did you hear me? Can I dance? Huh? Me and Faith were dancing last night. Anyway, discerning the spirits. I don't have this gift, this spiritual at all. I get the shirt off my back, and the guy, you know, I think the guy's going to be a deacon, and he ends up, you know, robbing a bank or something. I don't know. So guess what? I have to surround myself with people that have discerning spirits. My daughter, oldest daughter, has discerning spirits. Big time. My wife, big time. And you know, guys, your wife will have, and you'll, she'll say something, and you'll go, oh, wait a minute, I'm the man. I'll determine whether or not that's right. And then a month later, after he's taken your shirt, shoes, and underwear, you know, don't tell me I said so. You said so, you know, kind of thing. Listen, I've learned to listen. I got guys around me, I pray, for discernment that on our board, and just deacons and elders. And pastors, I really do. Especially as we're involved in pastoring and caring for people, sharing with people, helping people, benevolence in leadership, especially in benevolence. In fact, the way I see it, if you declare this your church home, I would pray that we need to discern, all of us need to discern, and pray for this spiritual. If what people are saying is coming from the Lord in small groups, even here, in any ministries that we're in, if people are speaking and saying things that we truly know is from the Lord, or if it's just themselves, if it's the flesh, we need to discern if what people are saying is coming from the Lord, or the influence of demons, or simply a result of their own human fleshly wisdom. I need that in the office there. I need that our staff, in the deacons, and I tell our deacons and elders, man, look to your wives, because I don't know, ladies, I think you have that gift. I think it's something that Jesus naturally put into you. It's an innate thing within you. And so, as men, we shouldn't be so prideful. Talking from the heart here and experience, not to come. Now, the past 5 years, I've been coming to my daughter and some of you ladies. And just the other day, a couple weeks ago, I came, and they have a Bible study here at 9 o'clock. Sometimes I come and sit, and I just ask these two ladies if they're all the time stuff. Just, you know, because they got discernment. They really have discernment that I sometimes don't. And so it's okay to do that. And so we need to all pray that we have that discernment. It's very important. Acts chapter 16 is a very good example of this. Listen to these men. They're speaking about the Most High God. A little girl said of Paul and the apostles. Well, discerning that she was under demonic influence, however, Paul demanded the demon leave her. And it did. Wow. Isn't that something? You see, church, yes, she was saying the right words, but Paul was given the discernment to sense a demonic spirit behind them. You can say right words and, it's not good, right? Like tomorrow, somebody would be calling each other, emailing each other, saying, man, that pastor yesterday, he just went on it. He couldn't even find the right scriptures. True. Right? But was it in the right spirit? Was it in the right context? Maybe. I don't know. But you see what I understand. You understand what I'm saying. You can say something and be totally out of the ballpark. I mean, and then you can say something and be in the ballpark, but completely out of bounds. Without the discerning of spirits, it causes all kinds of problems in the church. Splits and disorder and then false teaching. Finally, the least of the spirituals. The least of the spirituals. That man, well, they think it's the first. I think many of you know what I'm talking about. Of course, tongues. But we will have to wait a bit. Chapter 14, because I don't want to get ahead of myself or even steal Paul's thunder of the Holy Spirit, because he really gets into this part of the text. Especially, I don't want to take it out of context. So, chapter 14, he'll speak more about tongues, and actually, as he speaks about tongues, he'll discuss in depth tongues and interpretations of tongues with the third declaring operations and of and in the context of prophecy. I'm going to try to hand this out next week in our bulletin because it's very important to see. Can you guys read that? Okay. There's three operations of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14. We call these the spirituals. They're in three different categories. The first one is discerning operation. The discerning operations. In that, you have the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. You guys catch that? Cool. The next thing you have in chapters 12 and 14 is the dynamic operations. Now, where are they? Well, faith. The second one is miracles, and the third one is gift of healings. Of course, dynamic operations. And finally, in chapter 12 and 14 of 1 Corinthians, we have the declaring operations, which we'll really get into when we get to 14. That would be prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. You see how that declaring, you're speaking it. And so we'll get into that a little more in depth. And so those are the three. And so gang, this is important. So please remember, so we won't be ignorant. We're being taught today. I'm being taught as I study through these. God's still revealing stuff to me. Warren Wiersbe's got a great, and Warren is one of those guys that he started out not believing it was for today, only for back then, and then he switched his mind after he really started studying the scriptures. Well, so church, Seeing as we have communion today, how do we end this? How do we end our time together this morning? Well, of course, verse 11. Let's read it together. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing them to each one individually as He wills. If we move in the operations of the gifts of healing, if we speak prophetically, if we see miracles flowing from our ministries of evangelism, Paul is very careful to say it's only and only because of God's sovereignty rather than according to anything we earn or deserve. Amen? So as we continue to study these chapters on the Holy Spirit, and as we receive these gifts, operations from the Holy Spirit, let's be reminded it's only by God's sovereignty that, well, disperses and manifests them within our body. And after we get through 14, we will then go into the gym. And we will climb on our equipment, and we will start using the equipment to bring us some spiritual muscle that we might exercise some of these spirituals. You mean on Sunday morning we're going to get really Pentecostal? No. We might Wednesday night, small groups. There might be times that we have an afterglow after Sunday, after the regular Sunday, and we'll be able to, be able to exercise with our muscles, our spiritual muscles. And I know what you guys are thinking. Some of you guys are kind of Pentecostal. Yes, can't wait. I'm right there, man. Go, just say go. I'm there. And then some of us that maybe aren't into that much are going, I'm out the back door. I gotta find me another church. Well, I think each of you will be pleasantly surprised at what takes place when we do things in order. Well, finally, Paul is very careful to say this. It's only because. I love Peter's reaction to Simon the sorcerer. Remember that guy? Simon the sorcerer? For those who don't, he had a pocket full of money. And he was Simon. And guess what? He was a sorcerer. And when he saw the Holy Spirit take it off and doing the things that the Holy Spirit did in Acts when they're evangelizing, oh man, he wanted some of that. And so he went to the bank and got a bunch of money out and said, can I buy that? Here, I got some money, let me buy that. Totally, totally inappropriate. Your money perish with you, Peter said, Simon the sorcerer, when asked if he could purchase the gift of the Holy Spirit. Please, wow, know this. The ministry and gifts of the Holy Spirit cannot be earned either through spirituality or through money. Please understand that. I've seen so many times that people will walk in a church, you know, and they're an elder or deacon or something, or they're the pastor's bodyguard. You think I'm kidding? No, I've seen that. Like 4 or 5 of them. They even have to go in the bathroom with them. That's where I draw the line, pal. I don't want nobody in the bathroom with me. And so it's like, and they walk around like they're just, you know, I'm a spiritual one. You know, and it's so oxymoron. It's the opposite of what God's wanting to get through to us. I don't care how much money you have or how spiritual you think you are. These gifts are only given sovereignly by God. And usually the more humble you are, the better. That doesn't mean if you're a very spiritual man or if you have any sort of cash of money, that you can't. I'm just saying, when God looks at a man or a woman and he sees the humility in them, especially maybe if they're wealthy or especially if they're very spiritual, if he sees that humility in a man, can he use him big time? And I believe in this church, we have those kind of people that God can use. So, Let me leave you with this. Once we begin to say, look at what I'm doing. Look at me. Whether it be intellectually, spiritually, monetarily, musically, or even athletically. You young bucks out there that was laughing at me when I was dancing last night. Once we start taking the credit, we bar ourselves from moving into the promised land of blessings the Lord would otherwise have for us. Do you get that? Can you give me an amen? Father, we thank you for this lesson.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.